Welcome to the Parenting is Hard Work podcast. This is Dr. Scott Taransky, and I'm here with Elena Svetzlot, and we are enjoying spending time just troubleshooting various areas of family life. We usually spend quite a bit of time on parenting. That's what we mainly do. Both Elena and I are coaches, and we work with families. But in this particular session, we're going to drill back down on some marriage issues. And so, Elena, I'm glad to have you with us. Why don't you go ahead and introduce what we're going to do today?
Yes. Hi, Dr. Scott. Really lovely to be together again and again to have a very nice conversation about a chapter from your book, Activate Your Marriage. We are going ahead with that series that we have started a few weeks ago. And this time we will be talking about communicating joy and satisfaction in marriage. And that's chapter 10 in the book. And it's a very interesting topic to talk about because I think everybody thinks of joy perhaps and satisfaction in a different way. Or I know for sure that my husband and me are having a different way to proceed on how we see joy and satisfaction. And I think it's really something I'm looking forward to learn more about. And I'm sure those who listen already for the previous episodes know that this book is available on your website, biblicalparenting.org. So if you follow along, please feel free to read that chapter before or after you listen to this episode. But I'm just going to quickly get us started, Dr. Scott, by reading out how you describe contentment and communicating joy and satisfaction. So contentment, finding peace in my current circumstances rather than longing what might be missing. And communicating joy and satisfaction, you are describing it as intentionally focusing on and sharing the positive aspects of my relationship, even in ordinary or challenging moments. I mean, it sounds really good, but sometimes it's so hard to do this. Why do you think that's the case, Dr. Scott?
I think that even from a young age, there are many people who don't find contentment in life. What they do is they're always trying to go outside the boundaries. You know, young people, they're trying to find their identity. They violate their parents' boundaries and they haven't learned contentment. Contentment is so important. And this idea of contentment means that we're going to find peace right where we are now. We can always wish we had more money, but can we live within the confines of our current income and budget and find contentment there? The same thing's true with health issues. Can we find contentment even though we've got physical challenges that might be hindering us from doing some of the things we wish we could do? And then when it comes to marriage, there are some people who say, you know, I'm just not feeling it anymore. I want to get something else. I see this other person, you know, and then they violate their marriage vows or they just feel discontented with their relationship. And it's not so much about the other person. It's about you. It's about you and what you're doing in your life and how you're perceiving life that's so important. And so what I'm suggesting in this chapter, as in all the chapters of this book, is that God has designed marriage for a place to be a place where we can develop this internal sanctification that God is growing us in, that he wants to build things into our lives. And he uses marriage to do that. So you're always going to find things in your marriage that you wish were different. You might always see things outside that you wish you had. But contentment is saying, I'm going to find peace right where I am, right now. And once we grab that idea, it changes our perspective. Instead of saying, I want my mate to meet all my needs, it's saying, how can I find joy in what I have in this relationship instead of looking for things that I don't have?
Yeah, I mean that's such a powerful way to think about joy or contentment. Like you mentioned, be happy with what it is in the moment or be content with what it is in the moment. I get the feeling that especially in the last years or so with the involvement of technology especially, a lot has changed in how much patience on and how much willingness are we allowing in our relationship to be content and to be joyful. I think more than any other time, perhaps in history, it feels so easy to look outside and to think, well, the grass looks greener there and it looks so much better. Why shouldn't I just try that? So Have you noticed, Dr. Scott, in your experience working with parents and couples, 20 years maybe ago and now, have you noticed that it's indeed maybe more difficult nowadays to experience joy and being content than before?
This is a heart issue. So I'm not sure that culture impacts that a whole bunch. Maybe what you're saying is true, but we even see it in Bible times that people are committing adultery and people are abandoning relationships. I just think that it's much bigger than that. Mm-hmm. But let me say this. I think that there is a place for what I call a godly discontent. If your spouse is mistreating you, I'm not sure we just want to be content with that and say, oh, it's okay. I think there's times for us to take action and say, this isn't okay. So I don't want to suggest that we just put up with everything that's going on, but a godly discontent promotes healing and it's moving us in a positive direction. So there are times to put our foot down and say, no, we're not going to continue to live this way. I think that's okay. But I think that what we're focusing on here is this ability to find the peace and the joy in the relationship. And when we communicate it to our spouse, I think that's even more powerful. So there's two things. There's one is the heart quality of contentment, but then there's this activity that we engage in, which is communicating that to the spouse and expressing our value of that person in the midst of the challenges that we're facing, because we're focusing on the good. We're focusing on what God is doing and where we are at this point.
Yeah, that is true. And that is very powerful. I think, like you mentioned, in our hearts, desires and perhaps the wrong desires have been there from the beginning. So it's something that we're struggling with for a long time, regardless of cultural or historical settings. Dr. Scott, I see that you really mentioned contentment as a choice also in the book. You say actually contentment in marriage is a choice to practice joy and satisfaction in your relationship, even when life isn't perfect. And I find that idea quite interesting, because we do practice many things in our lives, and we practice, we sport and we do other many things in a way of practicing. But I never really actually thought about practicing contentment as so I can get used to being content. How do you think that's, how do you see that happening?
Well, I think there's some people who just by their very personality tend to focus on the negative. Mm. They look the glass half empty, and they're complaining about the things that aren't going well. They become critical of what happens. These are the complaining and being critical are symptoms of discontent. And I think we need to work on them. I think that God, with his Holy Spirit, works in our hearts to point out to us where those areas are that we're tending to move that aren't helpful. And so when we practice then being grateful for what we have instead of complaining about what we don't have, I think God can do some good things in the midst of that. I think that when we focus on the good that's taking place and we allow that to be the dominant focus in our lives, then we're not going to be critical and complaining, and we're going to be able to focus on what God is doing already. And it just brings so much healing to relationship. There's some people when they start talking in a marriage relationship, they are just, you can hear their anger just in the way they communicate. He always does this, or she never does this. It's just the hostility that's grown inside of the heart is a problem. And that critical nature that can fester inside of us is something that just destroys relationship. And then the person becomes discontent. Oh, I got to get out of this marriage relationship because it's not what I want. And, and so it's just, this is a spiritual quality that we're trying to develop. It's something that God wants to do inside of our hearts to produce this. But let me just read these verses from Philippians 4. It says, I'm not saying this out of need, for I have learned to be content regardless of my circumstances. I know how to live humbly, and I know how to abound. I'm accustomed to any and every situation, to being filled and being hungry, to having plenty and having need. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Now, we usually quote those last verse, Philippians 4:13, as this verse of empowerment. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But notice it's talking about being not complaining and not being critical. And that's so interesting that I think it's worth considering that this is something God wants in our lives to be able to look at what we have or the situations around us and become this positive person that's going to encourage and enhance relationship.
Yeah, you do indeed call it as a spiritual discipline. And I think it's really worthwhile reading this chapter for those indeed who are struggling at this point with resentment and what you just mentioned earlier, festering in our hearts, maybe thoughts and maybe ideas that are perhaps not helping us in our relationship to grow, but instead it helps, it brings it on a different direction. And Dr. Scott, what would you advise a couple who is struggling, and you just mentioned they are in that situation where they really feel that they don't know how to start. They don't know how to get started to feel joy and contentment. And they are really in a crisis.
Hold on just a second. Let's see. I think that you're asking a really good question here. And I think that what we want is we want to develop this gratitude. And I think we can use all of these things, that the complaints that we have as triggers.
Mm.
And so when I say triggers, what I'm saying is, you know, if you start to complain, that becomes a trigger for you, that you can now move into this attitude of gratefulness. And so if every time you start complaining, you say, oh, wait a minute, I don't want to complain anymore. I want to be this kind of person that's more positive. I can do that.
Hmm.
So I think that's part of the discipline. I think we start identifying our negativity, and this pool of negativity can have all kinds of things in it. It can have sarcasm. It can be just instigating trouble. It can be, you know, so many things that come from being discontented. And of course, we see it in children. They have this pool of negativity where they're just rebellious and they're complaining and they're arguing. And I think the same thing happens in marriage. That's why we deal with it when kids are when they're younger as children. We want them to be able to develop the skills they need to be more successful in life. So that's what we're working on here, to help kids be able to grow in this.
Yeah, perfect. Well, I really think that, especially for me, this has been a very, very groundbreaking, maybe restarting or resetting chapter, because it's really brought home a few things that I tend to do, which is, be less grateful, but more focused towards what's empty in the cup, like you have mentioned. I know there are a number of things that you mentioned in a book that parents can do to practice, and I'm not going to repeat them, but I would like to ask your suggestion on, let's say, one thing that is really has been for you and for those who you worked with has been really changing the most in the way that you have become and you have started to see your partner.
Well, I would say, first of all, view this as a spiritual activity that you're doing, number one. Number two, you're going to trust the Lord in this. You're going to say, I'm going to practice being positive with my mate, to being grateful. And then three, watch what happens.
Mm.
It may not happen instantly, but watch for the impact that can take place here in the life of someone else. And you can start with your mate. I think that's a good place to start. But we're always just looking for ways to practice our spirituality and our life with the Lord, with other people. So I think it's one of those things we develop. And as you become more of this kind of a person, just watch what happens, because God blesses us when we do the right thing. This is one of those areas where we tend to see it, because when you start treating people differently and you start being this positive person, it can really impact other people in some really good ways.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's been really great to talk to you about this, and I appreciate your time and really all the insights that you share with us. I really recommend this book. I really think it's going to give couples the possibility to start afresh in some areas that perhaps they're lacking or struggling. And for those of you listening, feel free to reach out to us if you have specific questions, or if you have situations in which perhaps you need some guidance. I know we can give some guidance based on my experience and Dr. Scott's experience, and we're happy to listen. So please feel free to comment and send messages. Thank you so much that you're listening to this podcast, and please feel free to share it also with those that you might think might benefit from it. Dr. Scott, before we close, are there any other final thoughts you want to share?
Well, this is, I think, foundational to our understanding of what Jesus Christ has done for us, that when we recognize that Jesus Christ died on the cross for us, we become grateful. And then we start looking around at life. And that gratitude just grows and impacts everything that we do. So I would suggest that this is a foundational truth for our lives, that the contentment that we have to just enjoy what God has given to us, and then and to be that kind of a person that expresses joy in life. That's who we are. That's how people are going to be able to see us as Christians. And we're going to be able to take that, and people are going to ask us, what makes you different? And then we can explain. This isn't just a how-to kind of thing that we get out of a self-help book. This is because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. So, yeah, I agree with you, Elena. This is very important, and I'm glad that we could spend some time talking about all of this. And so I would say, folks, work on it. And certainly, if you want to get the book, you can, and follow along with us in the next episodes as we continue on in this book. But God richly bless you as He works on you in the midst of your family.